Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 702. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I'm just saying, if one of your members gets brutally assassinated and people start cheering, perhaps as a group, you should start re-examining your life choices.
I thought there'd be something with this at the top.
Earl is here.
And if something, don't say something. I don't know that guy.
Never snitches.
Those pictures are very blurry. It could be anybody. So
could be anybody. Could be me. Could be you. Who knows?
They released pictures today of this shooter.
They didn't release anything. I didn't see anything.
It doesn't look like the same dude. Like, his jacket is different. The backpack is different. It just looks like another dude that's sort of dressed the same way. Like, it.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe they know more than me.
Same white people look the same.
Dude, no, look at his jacket. Look at his fucking, he has like a gray backpack in the footage. And then like in the picture they released today, it's a black backpack. I'm like, not the same. It's not the same. Like, I don't know. Like,
just unless like he has watched enough true crime.
Well, I watched the video of that dude being assassinated like 500 times yesterday. I'm like, I know what this guy's dressed like. And like, yeah, this dude, the pictures they released today, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like similar, but it's like, go ahead.
I was gonna say it's also so fascinating how like in like TV and movies it's always like these trends. It's a guy who got away on a city bike who apparently gun kept on jamming. It's like, yeah, it's not like professional.
Well, the other, I think that's a funny part of it too, is everyone being like, I don't think this guy's a pro, or I think this guy is a pro, and it's like, as far as I understand, professional hitman is like a fictional thing. Like, it's not like it's something that movies and books and stuff made up, but it's not like a real actual thing, I don't think.
Like, I think it exists.
But not as a professional. I think you might find someone who, like, I'll give you $10,000 to kill someone. They might say, okay. But I don't think that that's like, I don't think it's like John Wick. Where,
well, there were probably guys that worked for the mob, right? That, like,
yeah,
that was their job though. To kill people. But yeah, not like I'm gonna hire somebody and we call like the what is it, the Continental hire myself a hitman.
Like, paying special coins. Obviously people in the mob, there's people that like do the hits, but it's not like
even then, you know, like, are we just buying into a mythos? Like, are those people that really existed? Or are there just people who happen to be the mob who killed people? I mean,
Yeah. It's like, well, if you get ordered, if you're in the mob and you get ordered to kill somebody,
because if you don't do it, you're going to be next.
But then they might put someone on the job who's like, hey, this guy's good. He always comes through, whatever, right? But it's not, the professional hitman, like a mercenary type hitman, I don't think that's a real thing. I don't. And I do think, like, when it comes, they will find this guy. I think that, it's going to be for personal reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, I don't know. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, and Jeff is here.
Hey, everybody.
How was everybody's holiday, Thanksgiving?
We had a ham, so it was awesome.
I mean, I like ham.
Yeah. I think we discussed this before. I think we are like, I don't have anything against turkey, but I'm team ham.
Yeah, I can. Nobody else in my family does, so at this point, we just get egg ham steaks. For me, really.
So do you not eat turkey, Earl?
Oh, I like turkey too, but I just prefer ham.
Okay.
Turkey. Chris.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like turkey.
Oh, you don't like turkey? Like, you're like against turkey?
I don't like turkey at all.
So, like, if you go to a Thanksgiving and there's turkey, what do you eat it or no?
I mean, I will like have a small piece. If it's not, you know, if it's at somebody else's house, like if I were invited there, like, you know, past girlfriends or whatever, yes, I've eaten turkey. Like, but like at home, like when my mom has it, like I didn't eat the turkey. Like, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese, like carb up and shit, bitch.
Stuffing. You stuffing guy?
Not really.
I like the stove at the top, whatever
the stove top.
Yeah. I think it's just good as fuck.
Not bad.
So for Thanksgiving, do you just have it at your house and not have turkey or what?
So my kids don't like turkey. My wife doesn't like turkey. But my youngest daughter likes turkey, but my mom's not going to make a turkey for the 12-year-old and herself.
Uh huh.
So she makes chicken now.
Okay.
Chicken, and she makes me fish as well. Because
You get the special treat. You're like one of the, you're that guy in the family. Like he gets his special. Mommy makes his special meal.
Yes. Like I mean, she makes enough for everybody to eat fish, but
she started
making it for me.
When my wife is making something that like I don't like, but everyone else likes, she'll be like, "Do you want me to make you like something?" I'm like, "No." Like, because I just feel bad about it, about being picky, and I'm just like. Just fuck it. I'll suffer and either like eat something I don't like or just eat around it. Like, you know, just eat everything else.
Yeah. I'm more than capable of making myself a meal later if I need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
It's like, do not feel you need to make me extra food, like just to satisfy me.
But, I feel bad about it because like, again, I feel like I feel like I'm sort of open-minded when it comes to food, but I am picky in a way that a lot of people are not. Like if you put sour cream or fucking mayo on something, like you're ruining my fucking day, man. Like, and that's hard to fix. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Like I'll put sour cream on a baked potato and that's it. Like if it's on a taco or something, I'm like, dude, you ruined my taco. Like that's it. It's over.
I cannot eat that now.
Yeah. Like it just tastes gross. Like, I want hot sauce on a taco. I don't want fucking sour cream, dude. Like, it's just, almost every meal from fucking HelloFresh, there's, like, sour cream somewhere hidden in there. And I just try not to look at the fucking ingredients.
And Tony, you did something different for Thanksgiving. How was that?
I think Tony had to go step away.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. Yes, Tony went out to dinner. We'll catch up with him when he gets back.
He found a restaurant to go to?
Yeah, him and his girlfriend went out to a restaurant that was like close by to the apartment or whatever.
I figured everything would be closed.
Yeah, I would have thought so too, but like a nice restaurant too, not like a corner store thing. Like he said, it was a nice restaurant. Earl, did you go anywhere for Thanksgiving or you have it at home?
Yeah, just with my folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very small this year, but good food. Good.
Mine's as small as it could get. It was the people who live in this house, which is me and my wife. And you know what? Fucking awesome.
Not oh wow. So like not a
nobody.
Like her mom didn't come over.
Nope. Nobody.
You didn't have the daughter and the grandkids, and
I think they had somewhere they had to go. She's fighting with her mom, so it like just worked out to be the best Thanksgiving ever.
Nobody's here. We don't have to have turkey. We'd have whatever we want.
Yeah, and it'd just chill, like not have to go somewhere. I honestly, dude, I think I've gone over this before too. Like, I kind of hate Thanksgiving because my entire adult life, Thanksgiving is just like. Hey, you know what's coming tomorrow? Black Friday. And I've always worked Black Friday in some capacity, and it
fucking
sucks. So it's just like, it's kind of a nightmare. Like, I kind of hate Thanksgiving. It's like bad vibes. It's like winter's coming. There's nothing good about it to me. Like, I've always had bad vibes. Well, not always, but ever since I've been an adult, it's just been a bad vibe holiday to me. Christmas fares better because it's just like, there's lights at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun stuff to kind of look at. And speaking of Black Friday, while we wait for Tony to return, did you guys pick anything up over Black Friday, game wise, or anything else? Like, it doesn't have to be games.
There wasn't anything really good that I saw. Like, I think I told you guys I picked up the Ace Combat 7 for like. Very, very cheap Xbox. I think I bought this Arkanoid game on Xbox that I think is kind of like Tetris 99 style, but nobody's playing it because it's fucking Arkanoid.
I think I've seen that one as well. I didn't realize it was a multiplayer game.
I didn't either. And it's you could play by yourself, but like I've already deleted it. There's just nothing that stood out to me. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but nothing stood out to me that I didn't already have. And like the one thing was like the Sonic Shadow, whatever the fuck remake thing.
Generations.
Yeah, but that was only on physical. It wasn't, the digital stores did not have it on sale. And it's just not like, I just don't buy games physical really anymore. So it's just, again, maybe you guys, I know Chris, you'll sometimes go physical with the games. I just, there was nothing. I got nothing.
Yeah, with Switch, I will, but like even like you know, there's like a special sale on Amazon today, and it was like, I mean, yeah, like $40 for Space Marine seems like a good deal, but I don't want to put a disc into my machine.
It just like it's to the point where like if you saw my physical Xbox collection, you'd be like, who is this guy? Like, it's just like a, like 10 random games. You know what I mean? like you would never think I actually really play video games. It's pretty funny. Actually, I don't even know where. I'm sure they're in a drawer somewhere in the living room, but like, I couldn't tell you which drawer my Xbox games are in. It's all digital. It's been digital for a long, long time now. And yeah, on the digital storefronts, I didn't see anything.
I mean, I got a few things. We'll get into it in a minute. But yeah, like for me, digital, this makes more sense too. Because like then, you know, if I buy something, you know, on the Xbox, my kids can play it on the other Xbox. If I buy something on Steam, like I can share the library with them and they can play those games. So, but Earl, did you get some physical Black Friday games, or were they all digital? No, you had a small list.
It was a combination of everything.
Okay.
So I got, so from GameStop, I ended up getting what I call an instant PlayStation collection, Helldivers 2, Spider-Man 2, and Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart.
Mm-hmm.
From Woot, which I think is the Amazon subsidy.
So yeah.
They had Mario and Luigi Brothership for $40, which I mean, weeks after the fact, $20 off is pretty good for a Nintendo game. I think at the end of last week's podcast, I had mentioned I was getting WWE 2K24. So it's $23. And I think, you were the one who told me about this. The digital deluxe version of Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League was $5. So I picked that up as well. I think that might be it. Maybe one other game I'm missing. But I think those are the big ones. I mean, still, it's 6 games. That is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bunch of games there. I also got Suicide Squad because I got it on PC. Like I think it was like $349 or something, which you saw before the Xbox One came out, and like you were like, hey, like I wish that Xbox and PlayStation had the same prices, but I was like, that's a good price, and for less than $5, or I think I got the digital deluxe version, so it was like $4.99. You know, I could play that on the Steam Deck, and you know, if I don't like it, it was less than a peppermint mocha from Starbucks. So,
what game? I'm sorry, I was distracted.
Suicide Squad.
Oh, the one that people didn't like, right?
Yeah, the one that came out this year.
So it was $5.
Yeah, 90% off when this year came out. Yeah. It was pretty good.
Absolutely insane. And then I bought everything I got was on. Like for the Steam Deck, Warhammer Inquisitor, which is like a Warhammer, it's a Warhammer game, but it's like a kind of like Diablo, but set in the 40K universe. The Expanse, which is the new Telltale game based on the the book series and TV show The Expanse. I think they actually got some of the actors from the the TV show to do some of the voice work. I got Pacific Drive, which some of you might remember from earlier in the year. Indie game came out. One none of you are going to know anything about. It's called the Thaumaturge. It's like a CRPG, top down, where you're it's in some magic universe. And then My Friendly Neighborhood was $2, and that is it's like a first person game, survival horror where you're fighting off Muppets. It like takes place in like a like Sesame Street type backlot where all the puppets have gone crazy. And NBA 2K25.
It was too good of a deal. It was like what, half off 20?
Yeah, it was like really cheap. It was more than half off because it was I think it's a $70 game, and I think I got it for 25.
Yeah, I keep on forgetting the default price is $70 now. Yeah, it's 25. I think that's the one we talked about at the end of last week's show. Where Tony's like, "Oh, and this is the version you need to get as well because it comes with all of the like, my character points or whatever."
Yeah, I didn't. So the one that I think Tony got is like he got the $100 version, which is it was like $45. I didn't go for that one. I'm not gonna play the my player mode. I want to play
some basketball.
I'll play like as you know actual teams with real players and I'm just gonna like screw around with it because I have not played legitimately a basketball game.
In a decade.
So
I don't think I've ever played like a real basketball game. You know what I mean? Like fucking NBA Jam. I don't know. If, maybe back in the day you'd consider that a real one, but it's like it's 2v2, right? Like it's
yeah, but it's not.
Everybody said it over. It's a great game,
I've played like an NES Double Dribble, like that would be considered a real basketball game, right? Like, but like anything modern, I have not.
So like no NBA Live and
nothing like that. Like nothing that's like a sim of basketball. Never, I've never have. So I don't know if I would like it or not. I actually don't entirely know the rules to basketball. I hate to admit,
you don't know the rules to basketball,
which is funny because I watched it a ton as like in the 90s. I watched a lot of basketball, but like you know, I didn't understand any of the finer points of it at all. It's just like Jordan's cool.
You understand the basics, right? Like
I understand
you're inside the circle, it's 2 points. If you're outside, it's 3 points.
Yes, but I understand that.
Like the strategies, Tony.
I don't get how plays work because it just seems like chaos. You know, like it's just like we're running
that's
around.
That's how I play, Jeff. Like
passing the ball around chaos. Until someone feels open, and then try to take a shot. Like I know that there's probably more to it than that.
That's one of the reasons I play so much NBA 2K is that I actually get basketball as opposed to the other sports. Like if I'm playing FIFA, I have no idea what's going on. But
well, it's interesting because like that's actually the way I learned football is by playing Madden.
Yeah.
So, when I was around 20, I didn't watch football much as a kid. And so like when I was in college, obviously all my friends did. And I started playing Madden and I was like, oh, it like taught me the game. Like I started to understand the game through Madden. And now I've watched every second of every Bears game this season. And
why have you done that to yourself?
I don't know, dude. It's fucking really bad, dude.
Earl had to step away.
Everyone's got business.
Everyone's
got I got a dying dog. Tony's had to step away. Earl's gone.
So been a wild night. But
my girlfriend got robbed. That's why I had to
stop. Yeah, it's just it has been a night, people.
Yeah.
Tony, what did you end up picking up anything for Black Friday?
Well, oh gosh, I got a number of things. Which I added to because Walt posted that link in the chat, and I've been thinking about Armor Core 6 for a while because it sounded interesting when Jeff was talking about it. And of course, $18 is a nice price. So I had to do that. But I did pick up NBA 2K 25 for I got the like super deluxe version for $45.
Yeah.
I got Final Fantasy. I think I talked about this last time. I got Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth.
Rebirth, the new one.
Which I'm interested in playing, but mostly because my son is obsessed with Final Fantasy 15, and that's kind of like the closest one, it seems, to that.
Yeah.
And then I got Napoleon's Eagles, which is a game I'm sure Jeff can't wait for me to talk about on the show. It's actually an electronic version of a board game that I used to play. I think I still have my copy, but it's pretty burnt out at this point. Simulating, you know, the reign of Napoleon and all that stuff. And then Total War stuff is always like super cheap on the Steam sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never gotten the DLC for Total War Three Kingdoms, which there's a bunch of. There's like a bunch of new campaigns and like new factions and stuff. There was a part of me that wanted to get all the DLC for Shogun, but at this point, like Total War Shogun 2 is like old.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd be more likely to play it if it was Three Kingdoms. But I'm mostly playing Three Kingdoms because I'm kind of like jonesing for something in that era because I'm reading like through the book Shogun and I've been watching the show.
Oh, nice.
But so I got all that DLC, which was not that expensive. It was like $9 for all of it, all the ones I didn't have already.
Cool.
So I think that was everything.
So I did end up going out on Friday. My middle daughter wanted to go get that Taylor Swift book from Target. So my wife was going to take her, and I was like, I'll go with you. And so my youngest daughter actually went as well, and we dropped them off to get in line like 5 o'clock in the morning. They're out there standing in line. And my daughter was like, oh no, we can go to Starbucks beforehand. And cause Starbucks opened at 5. She's like, there won't be a line. There was a line
at Starbucks at 5 in the morning.
Well, no, at the Target, where the book was. So she thought we'd go to Target. We'd go to Starbucks, get a coffee, and then we could just roll up at 6 when the store opens and go get the book. That was not how it was because people were lined up outside Target. So we put them in line. But we had kind of been joking about like telling them stories about how when we were kids, like the shit that would happen on Black Friday, like, you know, there were the stampedes sometimes and people were fucking nuts going over, you know, Tickle Me Elmo and crap like that. So we were telling them stories about that. So my middle daughter was like practicing her stiff arm on my youngest one to be like, so she could push the other people away if they got too close. And they're doing this in the line and we're evidently annoying the person behind them. as they open the store up and my wife and me are in the car, we're in no rush. We don't need the Taylor Swift book. So they open the door up and they're going in and my daughter start, like, they don't run, but they're walking faster. Like, and the older one is kind of pulling along the younger one. And the lady that was behind them the whole time, kind of like not enjoying that, was like, you know, you really shouldn't do that. And the look that my middle daughter simulated that she gave to this woman would have like burned holes through somebody. Like, she just gave her like that, like, I'm getting to the book. She had no problem. There were plenty of books, but
yeah.
I heard there was problems in the book. Like,
oh, we don't know yet.
Like errors. Like, so, not errors, errors.
Yeah, like actual errors in the book. So she hasn't opened it yet because my wife gave her the money to buy it, but it's a Christmas present. So she went and bought her own Christmas present, one of them.
That's funny.
So she got to experience like it wasn't crazy. The store wasn't really crowded. But yeah, she went out and was there at 5 a.m. At a fucking Target. that was something.
I haven't done any of that shit. Fucking 10 years at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no reason, right? Like, you just...
get off of Amazon.
Yeah, I think, Tony, you said, like, the doorbusters for a lot of these places were already on sale prior...
Like, weeks ago.
Yeah. I saw on Twitter or Blue Sky, someone was like, this is my Best Buy in 2019, like, the line, you know, for the, you know, whatever, they open at midnight or whatever, and here's this year, and then, like... 2019, it's like he's like out in the parking lot and like the line is like stretching into the park, like, you know, hundreds of people probably. And the picture he took this year was just two people waiting for them to open the doors. That's wild, dude. That's absolutely wild. I don't know what it's like out there. Was it like busy, Chris? Because like I won't do it. I just can't.
No, like, I mean, yeah. So we went to Target. That was fine. Like, no problem checking out. And then they wanted to, so we took them over to Old Navy because she wanted to, like, get some clothes and stuff. That was a little more crowded, like, and you had to wait in line to cash out. But it wasn't, like, you know, wall-to-wall people. It was, like, they got in line. I went outside and kind of waited out front, and it was, like, 10, 15 minutes. Like, it wasn't too bad. And then anywhere else we went, like, so my wife wanted a new Stanley, so I went over to Dick's and got her one of those. No line there.
You know what my wife asked for Christmas?
No.
A nail gun. She's the man in this house.
Like, give me the tools.
Like, no, like, literally.
I think we already, guys, we already know what the murder weapon is.
I know. That's why I didn't want to get it. I literally said that's why I don't want to get it. Because, like, she could, like, literally use that as a gun to kill me.
Yeah, I saw Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, right? Wasn't it? I swear it was, like, Lethal Weapon 3 or something that he uses a nail gun.
I think they use a nail gun multiple... They use a nail gun multiple times in that series.
The picture in my head is Mel Gibson using it, right?
Yeah.
And the picture in my head is him using the nail gun, and he's got this crazy mane of hair, which is like in 3, it was like out of control. It was like early 90s.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
So I think it was 3 that he uses a nail gun on somebody. And that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, no. But like, literally, like, I think like the year before, or I don't even know if it was Christmas, I think she bought this herself. She was like, I need a table saw. Like, she is literally the dude in this family. And I'm like just sitting there on the couch fucking drinking and playing video games.
It
works out.
Yeah.
Yin and yang.
And shit's fixed, right? Like,
I mean, it's
to a degree.
I don't know that she necessarily knows what she's doing, but she's at least like willing to break the house to learn.
Yeah. That's why, like, I'm not like, nope, that's broken. Call somebody. There's a professional that will fix that shit.
Yeah, there are people who know how to do that. I'm not one of them.
That's how I am. She literally, like, installed a ceiling fan. She changed all the fucking, like, modernized all the fucking outlets in her house. Like, it was just like, I think I told you about this, Chris. It's like, I would never in a million years attempt to do anything with electricity. Like, never. Because, like, if you, dude, like, I've seen people die of electricity, and it's fucking horrible. So, no. It's like, even if I went and turned the main off on our house, I'd still just don't trust anything.
Right. At some point, you're going to have to turn it back on. And
there's going to be a fire, electrical fire. Or, like, yeah, wrong. But she's done it all, and... I'm still alive, so more power to her, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Little does Chef know, this podcast is coming from the afterlife.
Yeah. This is the RIP episode.
So that's the games we bought. Jeff bought Ace Combat 7?
Oh, that's a choice.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, outside of like, you wanted a flight, an arcade flight game, like what kind of came over you to pick that one up?
No, it was more that I'd see people say that like Park Summit is like a really great game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, I want to say Gene Park.
If the Washington the Post.
Yeah. He, it's one of those games that he like champions. And I was like, I don't know. I respect this guy's opinion about games and I'll give it a shot. And it is very, and I did play a little bit of it actually. Like it was just sitting there forever. But like a couple days ago, I'm like, I need something to talk about on the podcast. So I'll give it a shot. It is very much any flight combat game that you've ever played. Yeah. Like, you know, and so if you're into that, like if, which I think you are, Chris, it's definitely worth checking out.
They're fun.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, but I've come to the conclusion that that's not a genre I love very much. Like, it's all about like, it's so much just lining up your shot, like maneuvering around, like circling around, turning back around, waiting for the green box to go red or whatever, you know, like I'm locked in. And like, if you're into that type of game, this is definitely a recommend. Like it is
one of those.
It's gorgeous. It is like very stunning graphics. Like I was just like, God damn, I've played a decent amount of these games. Cause I used to play like the, like Rogue Squadron series on GameCube and stuff. And like, those, you would play them basically. I mean, I would play them mostly because they were like a graphical showcase. And that's kind of what this is. Like, it's really awesome looking. It has story, which I hit skip. But there's like a lot of cutscenes about how like a war it is like starting out. Like, basically, you're on the brink of like a world war. And, you know, you're going to have to do all these missions. And that's all it is. It's like, You pick your whatever, you know, plane or whatever jet, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So layman here. Like you want to use, and you'll earn money from doing the missions, and you could buy new planes, and you could also upgrade your planes. And you get to choose like your main and secondary weapon for the planes, which you have to buy. But like, so like the second mission was like, you had to like blow up all these like installations that are on the ground. And I was like, well, then instead of my secondary weapon being like 5 lock-on missiles, I'll make it a devastating bomb I could drop. So I made that my secondary weapon, and you know, fly over things and try to like time it right so that the bomb will drop as you're passing, like it'll hit as you're passing over it.
Run out of ammo? Like,
yeah, you do. Well, your main missiles, like, dude, it'll give you like 60 of them for a mission, so like you're fine, like you're not gonna
60
run out
missiles
of that.
On one something clearly like not that. A sim. Clearly.
Yeah, I don't think it's a sim, but like, yeah, like your main normal weapon, there's a lot of, you know, I think it's just, yeah, like regular missiles. But the bombs that I was dropping, I think I had like 12 or something. So like, I did run out, and I had to start just like suicide fucking pointing my aircraft at the ground and fucking shooting missiles at stuff. But I played those two first two missions. I was like, yeah, this is very much any one of these games that I've ever played. It's just very pretty. And obviously, like, it seems like it would be good if you're into that genre in terms of like, you know, there's a sense of progression in terms of getting better planes and better equipment.
That's cool.
But I had to, like, games are too big now, so I deleted to make room for Indiana Jones, etc.
Which is massive.
Dude, Indiana Jones is crazy. Like, it does give you an option. Like, when you go into it, it's like, do you want just the game, which I think is, like, almost 100 gigs, or do you want the game plus the texture, HD texture pack? I was like, well, I want
obviously
to look good.
You want the texture pack, yeah. Obviously. Like,
do you want the game, or do you want it to look pretty?
Yeah. So it's like,
not an option.
It's like literally like north of 130 at least.
Yeah, I think it was 134. something like that.
It's wild. It's, like, it's just too much. But, I, you know, I wanted to play it. One, it's free, and two, it looks pretty good. So, yeah, I had to make way for that fucking game. And then, like, after I did that, like, I had, like, almost no space left. I had, like, maybe 7 gigs or something left. And I was trying to do stuff. Like, I would go to play a game, and it would be like, Call of Duty needs more gigs available for you to play it. And I was like, okay, I guess. I mean, I have it all downloaded, but okay. Like,
Call of Duty always needs a new update. Yes, it's fucking annoying.
There was another game too that like did that too. It was like, you are Resident Evil. The other game I started playing, Resident Evil 4, is like, you need more than you need like 2 gigs in order to play. Like, you just need this space available at all times for these games because for whatever reason they're using it for saving or I don't know what the fuck. So yeah, I have deleted everything. My Xbox is just like, there's literally like,
you have like 3 games on it.
Four massive games. Like, I have Baldur's Gate, which is like 140 gigs. And I'm still playing that. Diablo, same thing. Fucking Call of Duty, same thing.
Yeah.
It's just, it's wild. Like, it's just, the file sizes have gotten out of control. This is something that like someone should run for president on about file sizes. I have a whole list of things I'm building that I'm going to run for president on. One of them is file sizes. I don't like
make your game smaller, or they need to give us massive amounts of space.
Dude, I could still like, again, it's totally different apples and oranges almost, but like I have like 128 gig SD card in my Switch, and like, I could fit most, not all, but like a lot of games. Like, their big AAA games now are like at most like 12 gigs. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. They're somehow doing it. The games still look good to me. Obviously not as good, but like, is the jump 1000% better? Like, I don't know. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so I did the same as you, Jeff, and installed Indie last night, and that texture pack is like 44 gigs by itself.
Yes! I hope, I mean, watching the YouTube reviews of it, it does look like a really, really pretty looking game, so I'm excited for that, but like, geez, man, that's insane. Like,
yeah.
Or like, I'm playing Resident Evil 4, that's like 100 gigs. What do you think it was on the GameCube? Like, under 2 gigs? Like,
yeah, I mean, the GameCube had, it came on one disc, right?
What was their capacity?
I think they were 1.5 gigs.
So think about that. That was a gorgeous game on GameCube. Obviously, it looks way, way better now, right? And they've done a lot, you know, to the game. But like, think of that, dude. It is 100 times bigger on the fucking remake than it was compared to the original.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah. My little rant for you.
You play anything else?
Just a little bit of Resident Evil 4. And the reason being is I downloaded it during like Halloween, like October. I was like, oh, yeah, spooky game to play. I never got around to it. And I'm like, well, it's sitting there. It's a great game. And I, you know, used a lot of fucking gigs to download it, so I was like, might as well. So I've started that now.
All right.
Nothing really to say. It's excellent. It's I'm trying to think if there's anything I would want to add to what anything we've said before. I don't know. It's awesome, dude. Like, it's a great game. You're always like back against the wall in that game, just like, fuck, shit coming from everywhere. People throwing fucking, you know, dynamite at me and shit. Where's it coming from? Great game.
Yeah. I played a bunch of stuff. You mentioned Call of Duty in there. I went back and finished Modern Warfare 2 and then played Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 2, really good. Like, excellent campaign.
I've been saying this, dude. You should really, I'm guessing you may have just downloaded the campaign, but like the multiplayer, that one, the multiplayer in that one has a level It's like a border crossing level. Oh my god, it's so fun. I fucking love it.
Oh yeah, you actually, one of the missions, all the Call of Duties, you kind of bounce between the different operators that you utilize to play as. And in Modern Warfare 2, you play as Mexican Special Forces in a couple levels. And one of the, I think they call them in, and Alejandro is the guy you're handling, and you're tracking these terrorists as they're crossing the border. And you actually have to climb the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of neat, but maybe I'll install the multiplayer, but I am still playing Black Ops 6.
Like, do you get what you're playing the multiplayer in that, right?
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying though? Like, all the reviews were like Black Ops 6 campaign is the best that Call of Duty has been in, like, at least a decade and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
yeah, I just don't think they put Call of Duty in a decade.
I think it's right. You're bullshitting. They're bullshitting. Cause like, well, Modern Warfare 2 is incredible. Infinite Warfare was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Black Ops Cold War was really good.
Yeah, that was before all of them. But Infinite Warfare was before that. But yeah, Cold War was like 2019 or something like that.
That was excellent. And so to be like, it's back, baby. It's finally relevant again. I'm like, I guess if you've never played it since fucking Advanced Warfare or something, maybe. It's been pretty consistently good. Except
Modern Warfare 2, and I really liked Black Ops 6, thought it was really good. But yeah. Modern Warfare 2 might be like the... to me, it was like the peak of their attempt at like that cinematic kind of, like, you're playing in an action movie. Like, there are scenes, there are whole levels where you're not even doing a whole lot of shooting. Like, you'll only shoot a few people, but it's just this cool like action sequence where like you're doing like spy shit and stuff. Like, that stuff's neat.
Yeah, it has all the variation that they like acted like it was new in Black Ops 6. Like, critics were like, oh my god, you know, in this one, it's not just running and gunning. And I'm like,
which 3 has all that stuff where they're like, oh, it's the open, like, you have these open missions. Like, half of the missions in Modern Warfare 3 are open missions where it's like, go do your objectives however you want.
Yeah, and that's the only one I haven't played out of the last decade, is because it got such bad reviews.
So we'll get to that in a moment.
You get what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. I don't feel like the people who reviewed the new one, I agree with them that like, it's good. I like Black Ops 6 a lot, but I'm just saying, it's like, to say it's like this giant jump, like leap forward from what they've been doing, I just don't agree with. Like,
yeah, it's like, it's iterative. Like, Black Ops 6 takes everything that they've been doing and does it maybe even a little bit better in some cases, because, you know, you get that whole, that whole base of operations that you go back to in between missions.
Yes, I love that. I do love that. That's
really cool. They make it a little more interactive, where, you know, there's missions in Modern Warfare 2 that you do, and then, like, you get, like, the movie cutscenes that they do. They kind of break that out in Black Ops 6, where you're going back to your base and you're dealing with things there. They made stuff more interactive. But Modern Warfare 2, excellent game, right up until the last fucking level, which I absolutely despise.
I don't remember. I'm sure it was bonkers.
So like it takes place in Chicago and you're, you're breaking into like this high rise, which is fine. Like that's all really cool. But then you're chasing this guy, Hassan, who's the terrorist leader, and he has a briefcase. And earlier in the game, you've done this whole briefcase thing where you have to, like, put codes in and, read different lines and columns to get a certain character, and you got to tell that to somebody else so that you can deactivate the missile that this box is firing, because it's the guidance system. So you take Hassan down, you grab the briefcase, and then you're running around and hiding and like trying to get like a minute by yourself while people are chasing you to do this thing, and you don't have any weapons. Like, for some reason, you've left your gun on the ground and you grab the briefcase. So
it's a gun. It's useless.
Yeah. What's wild is, I mean, we've all played Call of Duty. You always have, you have your primary and your secondary weapon. So even if you dropped your primary weapon, this guy always has two guns on him. This is the one time
that he just forgot
somehow,
it.
Somehow he dropped both guns. Like,
it's cinematic.
Yeah, so it's like it was just really annoying because you're running around this small office area on a floor of this high rise, and you're just running around in a circle trying to avoid the people that are chasing you so that you can pop the codes in. And then once you do that, then you have to run around the office and try to find supplies so that you can make like a knife so you can stab someone so you can finally get a gun and then kill the rest of them. I did not enjoy that final level at all.
I felt that way about Black Ops 6. I think I remember like texting you like, hey man, this fucking last mission just goes on.
Oh yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. The assault at the house, yes.
And it's like you're switching back before between, like, they start calling it different missions as you're going through it. Like, that's how long it is. It's insane.
And so like I immediately jumped into Modern Warfare 3 because like they kind of set it up at the end of Modern Warfare 2. They're like, hey, guess what, guys? Makarov is back. And like, so if you played the original one, he's like the big bad in the original one. And I think he's in Modern Warfare as well, like 2019 or whatever, 2020. He's the bad guy there. So they're like, Makarov's back. And then it says no Russian on like a cell phone screen. It's like, that's the big mission for Modern Warfare 2, the original one that was like super controversial. I was like, all right, I want to see what happens here. And Modern Warfare 3 is fine. Like, it's the game itself is fine. Like, the missions coming right off of 2, like, feels
not as good.
Yeah, it's like some of these were rushed. And, like, you could see it because it's like, oh, they definitely had some ideas for these open missions, but they weren't, like, as fleshed out as they are in Black Ops 6. It's like, oh, we had an idea, but the area wasn't as big. The idea wasn't as big.
I also believe that or Modern Warfare 3, a huge complaint was that like it was like recycled maps. Like, they didn't like put any work into the multiplayer, which is like
that might be. I did not play any of the multiplayer. Dude.
What I mean? Though it's like
a huge thing with those games is because they come out every year. Like, you want to play on new maps, like.
Yeah. It's like, it'd be nice to have, I know some people like love Nuketown, so they have to always like include that.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like, why am I playing the same shit? Like, why am I playing? This is not supposed to be a greatest hits album. Like, I want good new maps. And they've mostly, like, Modern Warfare 2 and Black Ops 6, I like the maps quite a bit.
Yeah. When Black Ops 6 has been great, like, I think we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. They started season one, and they've already released like 3 or 4 new maps. So like the rotation has been great. The one thing I'll say about Modern Warfare 3 is that game ends in the shittiest fucking way possible. There's no satisfaction at all without.
They're very short too, right?
It's 14 missions as opposed to 17 missions, like in Modern Warfare 2. So. It took me 6 hours.
Okay. It's kind of in line.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the short end, but not like people act like I started it that night and then I beat it. Like,
I guess you could if you just played it all the way through. Like,
yeah.
You could do that with a lot of games, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just ends in such a way, and there's no resolution. So it's like there has to be a Modern Warfare 4 because, hey, guess what? The bad guy that you've been chasing this entire fucking time, he gets away. And spoilers for Modern Warfare 3, but like Soap McTavish, who is one of the guys you play as, and like he's a name in Call of Duty. Like, everybody kind of knows Soap. He shows up in a lot of games. They kill him at the end of 3. And the bad guy gets away. it's like that. It's just like
Cliffhanger City.
Fuck. Like, yeah. What the hell happened here? Like, this sucks.
Don't worry. I'm sure Soap will come back to life in 4. It'll be a thing.
It's yeah. That would be wild. They'll find some way to bring back the dead guy. Yeah, it's just super disappointing that that was how it ended, because I wasn't expecting a Modern Warfare 4 either. Like, it's like, oh, they're gonna wrap this shit up.
Nah, there's infinite games in that series. Well, infinite.
Yeah, I mean,
there's 20 years warfare. From now, you're gonna be playing like Modern Warfare 17.
Yeah, I just figured they would call it Modern Warfare again, like, and it would just do what they did, right? Like, we're just gonna. Because Modern Warfare, the new one, it's so hard to fucking talk about this series, too, because there's Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, which is, like, that was the huge game 20 years ago. And the new Modern Warfare, which recycles characters and kind of, like, the conflict, but it's all set now in, like, the 2020s. So it's not a remake of it. It's just like we've taken those characters and we've brought them forward to a weird, weird alternate universe. None of it makes any sense. Yeah, but Call of Duty's fun. Like, I don't know. I like that. And I know some people hate this, but I kind of like that you just boot Call of Duty up. And like, if you want to play Modern Warfare 2, it's like there, as long as you have it installed and you can just choose it and play it. So I was like playing Modern Warfare 2 or 3 and then jumping over and playing Black Ops 6 as a multiplayer. So because it's all right there, you didn't have to jump and play in different apps, different games. Tony, do you end up playing anything?
I have not. I have been running around pretty much constantly since the last time we podcast, so yeah. I haven't really played anything.
That's fair. I'll jump back then, and so I did play a couple other things. I finished Alan Wake latest expansion, The Lake House. Alan Wake 2. I did not like that at all. I really like Alan Wake 2. I think it was my game of the year last year. I really like Night Springs, which was the expansion from earlier in this year. The Lake House is just bad. Like, there's too much combat. The combat in Alan Wake wasn't great. It's serviceable, but it's not great. There's too much of it. And it's all like one of the cool things about Alan Wake and Control, even Control, which takes place in a building. The environments in Control change, like, you know, the different levels of the control board are vastly different from one another. So it's not at all an office building. And The Lake House takes place in kind of this control facility, and there's 5 levels and they're all office buildings, like very little variation in how they look. Like, it just seemed very lazy. The monsters weren't fun, and then you fight a final boss that is just super fucking annoying. I almost quit on it. It's like I'd done it like 10 times, wasn't moving on it at all, and was like, I guess I'm done. I guess I'm just not going to, I'm not going to beat this one. And I shut it down and came back the next day and beat it in like 2 tries. Just kind of always how that works. Like, you just have to get away from a game for a minute, but it still wasn't fun. It's just an annoying boss fight where you're expending all of your ammo. And then there's like supply crates around the arena that you're fighting this enemy in, and they refill, but you have to like wait till it hits a new phase. So like when it hits a new phase
forever.
Yeah. You're just like running around in a circle. Like, 'cause I have no health packs left. So it's like, I need to like get just enough damage so the boss will like jump up to a ledge, and then the supply crates will refill, and then I can open them all, but not like open them and take the stuff out. I can open them, run around in a circle and open them. And then on my second lap around, grab the shit out of because I don't have enough time to stop and pick it up. I just have to keep pressing it. It's fucking awful boss fight. Hated it. And I don't think it advances the story at all for either Control or Alan Wake. I just did not enjoy it.
I don't know if you looked, but did other people seem to like the DLC or no?
I didn't. I should actually look. So, I know Patrick Klepek's a big fan of the game itself, and I kind of would be interested to see what he had to say about it.
Live, like it was like a game of the year.
Yeah,
contender, big time, right? Like,
was my game of the year last year. I really loved Alan Wake 2. Part of what I like about Alan Wake and Night Springs, which is the first expansion, is that it's like so weird and quirky and
Twin Peaksy.
Yeah, and this wasn't like it's just you're going into this facility. Guess what? Bad shit's happened. Hey, monsters are coming out of the paintings on the walls. Oh, you can't kill them with the guns you have.
How can we make this annoying as possible?
Yeah. It's like. You have to run around for, it's like a 4-hour DLC. And for 3 of those hours, you can't kill this special enemy that jumps out of the walls because you don't have the special gun that's locked behind something. And you don't get that until 3 hours in.
I think a lot of DLCs make the mistake of being like, how can we make this like, this is for the veterans of this game that are like so good. Like we're going to like, we have to up it, like up the like, difficulty or whatever,
you didn't have to
I mean, that's how I felt about Elden Ring, where I was just like, dude, it was hard enough, like what are you doing? Like there's another example of that, but we're like, yeah, we're just like, yeah, this is for the people that have played hundreds of hours of this game. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's like I am a fan of this series and like the game that it came from, and like you're turning me off to it because this is not fun. Like you somehow miscalculated what people want out of your game, and here's a newsflash.
I just think that the general a tendency seems to be with DLC where it's like we have to provide a new challenge. It's like. Not really. Like, I didn't need it to be harder, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's or like, more annoying in some way. Like, it's just give me something cool.
What are people coming to your game for? And it's like, just give them more of that.
And I don't think Alan Wake and the people are coming for like annoying, impossible fucking shit.
No, like, it's like the combat is at best serviceable. You're not like, oh, Alan Wake is a masterclass in third person shooting. No, it's. Kind of garbage shooting. It works, but
storytelling and atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get more like find something in part two that you could like, flesh out a little bit and have that as a DLC. Like,
yeah. Like, they took like something that's mentioned in Alan Wake 2 and, but you don't, it's not explored because it's not really necessary at all. And they're like, all right, well, now we're going to bring in this control agent. And she's going to be the main character of this DLC. You're going to get like 3 pages of Alan Wake, his writing. So you're going to get like 3 dialogue that you can listen to from him. And then everything else is kind of related to Control. But also not enough that it matters for Control 2. Just like all of it's super annoying.
Are they making Control 2?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And Alan Wake like ties directly into like it takes place in that universe. Yeah.
They have a shared universe.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the last, well, 2 other things. So you guys know Sword Quest from the 2600?
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a... So, no.
So, Jeff, there was this back... there's this game, Sword Quest. There's 3 of them. Earthworld, Fireworld, and Waterworld. These are all games that released, I believe, on the, I believe it was the 2600.
Okay.
That they released on. They were huge back in when they came out, yeah, because there was a contest for with each of these games where if you solved the puzzle and you were able to win the contest, you would get like some sort of prize. And I think for one of them it was like a chalice with like actual diamonds and rubies and like a bunch of like weird shit
that I've heard of this now. Now I'm looking at it and I was like, I have heard of this.
Yeah. So there,
this was on the Atari collection.
Yes. So yeah, there is the fourth one that was never actually released, Air World.
Yes. This is all coming back to me now. Yeah.
And so I was going through Atari 50 and trying to get some of the achievements in that. And like one of them is beat Air World, like figure out the final puzzle and solve Air World. Yeah. So I started it and won. I have no idea what that game is. Like none. No, it doesn't give you any idea of how to play it. Like you start off on a horse, and if you press the A button, or on the 2600, it would have been the red, big red button. Your horse flies. And you fly up into the clouds. And once you get to the top, then you're in this grid of 64 rooms. There's a map down in the corner that shows you where you are. All the rooms look exactly the same. There's nothing in the rooms. To do anything in the room, you have to go into the room and then press the button. And then sometimes in those rooms, you will get these weird mini games. Like one is like Flappy Bird, where you're controlling your horse and the screen is scrolling left to right. And you have to keep your horse in the air and avoid obstacles while picking up these coins. And if you hit any of the obstacles, it starts over. There's another one that is like Space Invaders, where there is these bugs and clouds coming down, and then you have to use your horse to somehow shoot magic lightning up out of your horse's head at these, this grid of enemies that is coming down, Space Invader style. There's another one where you're going down and you're shooting down at dragons. Like, it makes no sense. None of it. I have no idea how any of it works. There's another one that's like Frogger, where you're trying to avoid clouds and birds and collect shit. Anyway, I started playing it. I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like,
that's how I was with any of those games.
No idea. So I was like, how the fuck? One, I don't understand how anybody that would have got these games, back in the 80s would have had any idea. Which is exactly how I played like Raiders of the Lost Ark and E.T. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just pressing buttons and like making Indy swing his whip or E.T.'s neck grow for some reason. So I looked up a guide and I followed along. And God, I have no idea how anybody ever solved any of these.
I mean, that's true of like many games from the 80s. Like, it's just like, we tolerated it. We didn't tolerate it back then. It's all we knew. So it was like, games were kind of mysterious. It was like you would try to figure it out or talk with friends, or Nintendo had that.
Cause like to figure this out, you have to pick up items and then place them in certain rooms in certain combinations. And if you do all of that, it will eventually, like, there's a whole bunch of them. There's like 25 or 30 different combinations of these things you have to do. So you have to complete all these mini games and to get to the items themselves. So you have to do it's like 25 or so of these puzzles. And once you do, then it's like, it reveals Excalibur. And that was actually the prize for Air World was a sword. It was a diamond and jewel encrusted sword that has disappeared, evidently. Because it was made. Atari did.
Yeah, but like the thing actually.
Yeah, because Air World was canceled, so it never actually happened.
Yeah.
So that sword is actually in the wind somewhere. Yeah,
stolen
that game
by Jewel Thieves.
It probably. just wildly weird game. I just had no idea how anybody would have figured that shit out.
Can I mention a completely not completely random, but like a little side thing here?
Yeah.
I was looking at Sword Quest Wikipedia. It's like Earth World was 82, Fire World was 83, Water World was 84, Air World August 2022.
Yes.
So I imagine that was like originally intended for 85 or something, right?
Waterworld. So I read up on the history of this before. Waterworld was actually not released to the wider public. You had to be part of like the Atari Club.
Yeah, it says limited release. Yeah. So again, only the first two were like wide mainstream releases. But because you mentioned this, it made me think of like another ancient video game that I saw something about recently, which is this game called Wizardry. Have you guys played that?
Heard of it. I've never played Wizardry, but I do know of it.
I guess it was an Apple II game, and there is a remake that you could play on, you know, Xbox or I'm assuming anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That it looks like it's like significantly remade. Like this game was like basically text and like lines showing you walking down a hallway. You know what I mean? Like very, very basic early video game RPG shit. And the remake looks like way more like something that you would get in the 16-bit or even the, you know, 64 era. I was just wondering if anyone played it. I was going to ask, like, is this worth checking out? Because it does look like they actually put real work into this Wizardry remake that I think just came out or is coming out.
Is that do you know what it's called, Jeff?
Wizardry.
That's what the new one's called.
Let's see. Wizardry remake. It's full 3D remake of the first game in the series. And I think it's out. Hold on. I don't know. It's by Digital Eclipse.
Oh, well, I mean, they're pretty good at what they do.
I clicked on their website and it says buy now, so I'm assuming it's out.
But no, I've not ever put it.
Check it out. I mean, if you're into those old, it's like an old first person RPG type thing, but like obviously barely looked like anything when it came out. Like it was just like, again, like simple lines showing you a hallway and you press up, 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 you know what I mean? Like to go forward. And like this, like it looks kind of like that, but like actual, like decent graphics and battles and shit. I don't know how I'm the only one that's heard of this.
I hadn't heard of the remake. I mean, I did know about the original. Evidently, the original people liked it. Like there were 8 sequels, so it was a series people enjoyed. Yeah.
It looks decent as like a revival of something that is like ancient. Like it looks like they like did a decent job, not modernizing it, but like halfway modernizing it. I probably will not take the chance on that, it being like such an old game, and I think it's still like $30 for the remake or something like that.
It's on, I just looked on Steam, it's $35 for the remake. Mm-hmm. It does look very pretty though. Like
if you watch the trailer, it like shows, it'll like show second through the old game and then the new games. Like they really, it wasn't just like we're porting this, like re-releasing this. They did actual work.
Yeah, it also looks absolutely arcane. Like,
yeah,
like probably one of those games. Like, I mean, you probably figure it out because it's, you know, graphical and there's a map, and I'm sure there wasn't an actual map in the original one.
Yeah, but like the whole like I think he said about everything looks the same. Like yeah. I remember that's how I felt about playing like Wolfenstein 3D is like everything is blue and gray and just looks the same.
Yeah,
like,
you keep getting lost in that fucking Wolfenstein castle.
Yeah, it's just a maze.
And last thing, I wrapped up Star Wars Outlaws. I think it was a couple weeks ago, they did that big update they took out the Force Stealth, fixed like a bunch of other stuff.
Out the Force Stealth.
Yeah. Which in some cases, like I think it would be weird. Especially in the beginning where you're trying to learn how to play the game. I could see why you'd want the Force Stealth there, even if it is annoying. I don't think that stealth stuff in the beginning is that difficult that you couldn't get through it. I mean, I was able to get through it, and I'm terrible at stealth games. but I do appreciate that later in the game that like it's not forced on you, and you can shoot your way out of like an Imperial base or a syndicate area or whatever. I basically shot my way out of Jabba's palace for the most part at one point. I really ended up liking that quite a bit. I think the story is really good. Characters are excellent. It's a ton of fun. Like and because it's an open world game, like once you finish it, there's like a ton of stuff to go back and do and explore. So I'll probably play a little bit more of it because I'm getting it through. What's that? Is it Ubisoft Plus? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like they give you the deluxe version of it through that. So the DLC, the first DLC pack just released. So I'll probably play through that as well, but ton of fun. Really enjoyed it. So Darth Vader shows up twice. You don't fight Darth Vader because you're not a Jedi and you never actually interact with Darth Vader, but I don't know if they needed to like, you didn't need to tie it into the original trilogy. Like, I don't think, but maybe you did. Maybe you need to show Darth Vader, like the DLC has Lando in it. Maybe you do need to have that for people to give a shit, but it doesn't seem like anybody gives a shit anyway. So, I really liked it. It's a ton of fun. Really, really good Star Wars game, I think. And that's it. That's everything that I've been playing. Tony didn't play anything because he was busy eating out for Thanksgiving and such.
That's right.
Oh, did you? My girlfriend, my wife, you know, she complains I don't do that enough.
No, not Jesus.
Wait,
at a restaurant, Jeff.
Oh well, we do that plenty. How did you find an open restaurant on Thanksgiving? I thought they would be closed.
No, like, there's always a few that are open.
Christmas has that like thing where it's like people are, you know, they're open, but I didn't know about Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, and they'll have like really really nice spreads. This was like a 6-course meal.
It was like Thanksgiving dinner at a restaurant type deal. Like,
oh yeah. No, some of the courses were not very Thanksgiving. There was like a pumpkin. There was a pumpkin lasagna course. Okay. And like Oysters Rockefeller was one of the courses, and there was like a fish course, but there was one course that was definitely like turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes and cranberries. It was super super good. It was so much food too that I ate all of.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you tipped them well.
Oh yeah.
I got fucked up on Thanksgiving. I think I did this on Thanksgiving. We ate, like I said, we had ham and all this bullshit, and I fucking ordered DoorDash McDonald's at like fucking 11 p.m.
Oh, God.
But I think I tipped that motherfucker like $15 for bringing it to me. Like, thank you, bro. Sorry you're out driving around right now.
For crazy people that need Thanksgiving, McDonald's.
I was high. I wanted a fucking milkshake. I think that's what it boiled down to.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Hopefully, a bunch of us will have played Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I will have. Yeah,
it's Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a dumb name, but
maybe it all makes sense.
Yeah, I hope so. So yeah, we'll play a little bit of that. Hopefully, if it comes out weird, it's like releases sometime on Sunday, I think.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So we'll have most of the week to play that.
I think I saw it, like, my region is like, it says at 6 p.m. It's like, dude, just do the midnight release like normal. What are we doing here? Like, I don't understand.
So yeah, so if you're getting it at 6, then Tony and I are getting it at 7 on a Sunday. Like, who's releasing games on a Sunday?
It's very weird. Unfortunately, I'll be out a sick time at this point too, so I can't really enjoy it, bastards.
Well, you can play a little bit after the Bears lose. So
yeah,
that's right.
But yeah, we'll have a little bit of that and maybe some other stuff as well. Hopefully, Earl will be able to rejoin us by then, and he could tell us all about his PlayStation experience because he now has a PlayStation with games.
Earl has got a booty call in the middle of this podcast. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
I hope his booty's okay.
God.
We all do. Okay, so we'll be back then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.